One cold night, Natasha Williams' father drove his car into the New York Bay with her two-year-old half-sister in the back seat. She was the one to walk in past the column of hungry reporters demanding some sort of explanation. The headline in the Daily News read, "Back from a watery grave." But Natasha's experiences growing up with her schizophrenic father in the gritty New York City of the 1970s are not so easily captured in a single headline. Her new book, The Parts of Him I Kept, The Gifts of My Father's Madness, is an account of coming of age in the face of a father's schizophrenic unraveling. It's a great pleasure to welcome Natasha Williams to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Joe. I'm wishing that I had inquired about you reading my book for the audiobook. That was so well told.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's an incredible story and a horrible story, and yet the first question I have for you is, at what point did you decide that you wanted to tell it in such detail and tell it publicly, because it had been a part of the news cycle for a long time, of to say, okay, now it's time to open this up again?
Honestly, I had no intentions of writing a memoir. I had started writing something of a missive to my family when my aging schizophrenic dad needed assisted living. And the place that we ended up was so full of both heartache and resiliency that I found myself writing about it and wanting to share it with my family. And I ended up sharing it with James Lasden, who's a literary figure who lives in the community, and he encouraged me to write the whole book. So I sat down that summer and got the bones down, just completely unedited writing. And then it took me 10 years to figure out what the book was really about. And I guess in answer to your question of why I persevered, really, was I really felt that my father's life deserved a reckoning. People living with things like schizophrenia and psychosis shoulder such an incredible burden. And so many of them do it with a remarkable amount of humility and honestly grace. And that has borne out, now that the book is out there, I find myself, at parties and gatherings and I'll talk about what the book is about. And a lot of people have stories about how touched they've been by people living, sort of between these two worlds. There is something kind of remarkable about the space that people living with psychosis inhabit. And I hope I've captured that in this story.
How old were you when the incident that I described in the introduction happened?
I was 21. I was 21. I had dropped out of college. I was training to be a massage therapist. And I didn't honestly have a lot of contact with my dad in those years.
And was the reason because of the illness?
Yeah, I mean, I think, from the age of 15 on, my grandmother, who had really been my father's shelter and advocate all of his life, she died when I, the first year in high school when I was 15. And because of proximity, because I was the only adult child he was in contact with, I really became the heir apparent, in some fashion for his care. But it was not a role I was really prepared to step into at the time. You know, I was the person who was called when this happened. It wasn't really until for another few years that I really took on a more involved role in my dad's life. But I think that moment really stuck because this is how the world often encounters people who live with mental illness when they've hit the headlines, when lives feel like they're at stake. And I really wanted to go back in time and tell the story of this amazing man who strove to sort of understand life through art and music and trying to reckon his illness, you know, with this sense of purpose he had, both as a father. Being a father was very important to him. But also, you know, he felt he had a calling, and that was kind of exciting as a child. He was the person I wanted to be around.
You write in the preface of the book that your father had his first breakdown on the day of his college graduation. So he was quite young, almost the age you probably were when that incident occurred. And I'm curious as to at once diagnosed and diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia, right?
Right. Yeah.
And of how much of what was known at that time and how to care for someone with that, of putting that into a context of where we were in the medical world when that diagnosis came down.
So in the late 50s and early 60s, when my father was diagnosed, the medication was just discovered. Psychotropic medication was just starting to be used, and my father's medication regime was Prolixin, which was essentially a sedative. And for people who had, you know, more violent or threatening expressions of schizophrenia, you know, lobotomies were not uncommon. My father spent a lot of his time hospitalized at Pilgrim State Hospital, which, you know, it was really a state unto itself. It had its own laundry, its own mortuary. It was a country of madness. And at the time, that was how we kept people safe and also kept people, away from us, honestly. And I think it continues to be a challenge, you know, when people have breakdowns and reach out for help. I still hear that the experience of going into the psych ward is very challenging, and there's a real loss of autonomy. So we've come a long way, but, you know, we still have challenges. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
You did. I'll add on to it of once you have the diagnosis and you are involved in the care of your father, in reading the book, it never seems like there's a point where you say, okay, I got this. Like, because every day was different, right? I mean, it was always constantly changing. It seemed like it was always filled with surprise / shock as opposed to getting into a regular routine.
Yes. I think my father saw chaos as the place where creativity was fomented. He was not the least bit interested in routine. And it was it was challenging.
So do you then become, if this is even a possible term, to become used to the chaos in the sense of finding a way to find the as you say in the book, to find those gifts of the madness?
Yeah. I recently heard an author say that hindsight makes things look really manageable and neat. And I do think that is, one of the functions of making sense of chaotic and challenging experiences. And I think that I don't know that I so became accustomed to the chaos, but I became fiercely boundaried and boundaried in terms of my own children and, wanting them to know him, but making sure that they were there were parameters to those visits, boundaried in my own trying to make a life, but also keep him safe and care for him. And I think that's, one of the challenges that a lot of caregivers struggle with is, how to continue to care for the people who need us to care for them, but also take care of ourselves and the other people in our lives. And I do think that my grandmother, because she was such a fierce advocate for my father, really schooled me in the mission of caring for him and the importance of that. And I think my father was very lucky that way. He had her, it really enrolled the whole family in his care. But also, I feel as if I became a more empathetic, more patient, and really more substantial person because I had that role. I think I could have, been a lot more self-centered, been a lot more impatient with the world. I really felt like I was forged, through his illness into a better person.
When do you start to realize that? And without being digging too personally, but I mean, that seems like that is something that comes through therapy of understanding what that you made a difference not only to him, but to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I had a number of really good therapists and, I don't even know how I found them, honestly. I mean, when I was 15, I think it was my principal, the principal of my school, suggested that I might want to engage a Jungian therapist that she knew. And that Jungian therapist saw me for a very small fee. So a lot of therapy, Joe, from early teens through my 20s. And 12-step programs, adult children of alcoholics, sort of was a similar channel, this idea of, understanding you don't have control and figuring out how to take care of yourself. Those meetings, those rooms were really important to me in my 20s. And honestly, I think having children was a turning point. Understanding that his love, despite his illness, had really deeply impacted the way I thought about being a parent to my own children. And sorry, the thought just threw out of my head.
Were you ever concerned about having children?
You know, I'm a little embarrassed to say that I never really considered the inheritability of mental illness. And I think it was because my father's illness was so inaccessible to me, you know, that I wanted to understand him. I was sort of eager to tune into the voices and figure out what the mission was. And he felt so remote from me. And I felt so I felt so capable of moving in the world that I didn't feel anxious about that inheritability. But there is a point in the book where my father actually sort of declares that one of my daughters is schizophrenic like he is. And it was a real turning point in the story and a real turning point in my life where it was clear to me I needed to set boundaries, and it launched me into a lot of research, which you would think I would have done. I mean, I went to school and studied molecular biology. It just never occurred to me. And it, you know, there is an inheritable component to schizophrenia. You have an increased 10% increased chance of schizophrenia with a parent who lives with it. And it really did throw me into a tailspin. And it prompted me to have a lot of conversations, you know, not too heavy-handed, but light conversations with my daughters about, you know, what I had learned and, you know, what the risks were, even though they were minimal, and, you know, don't smoke too much pot and those kinds of conversations.
The book is very insightful and so warm and well written. And I thank you so much for sharing with us this morning. The name of the book is The Parts of Him I Kept, The Gifts of My Father's Madness. The book is published by Loyola University Press. Natasha Williams, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Be well. Again, the name of the book, The Parts of Him I Kept, The Gifts of My Father's Madness by Natasha Williams. You're listening to The Roundtable.